Today's first reading reminds us that God requires balance in our lives, both rest and work, and that those of us who are able to engage in both should never forget those who are restricted from enjoying much of either. In the second reading, we see the idea of rest as an image of salvation, of what will be when the whole world is finally ordered according to God's purposes and enjoys its full and complete Sabbath. In promising rest, Jesus promises life under God's reign in the new world that he is bringing into being. Reading first from Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, listen for the word of God to us today. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So ends the reading. And from the Gospel of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
So, Sabbath, from the Hebrew Shabbat, to cease, to rest, the traditional day of rest. For on the seventh day, according to Genesis, after a hard week of creating everything, God rested. And I'll be talking more about that next week. And though most Christians moved their Sabbath observance from the seventh day to the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the idea is the same. But what is the idea? Well, let's remember that Sabbath keeping is one of the top 10 commandments. Yes, it's right up there with not murdering and not coveting, stealing, or lying. In fact, it comes before those things. And in both Deuteronomy, which Patty just read, and Exodus, where the Ten Commandments also appear, Sabbath keeping is one of the more detailed commandments because it's a pretty complex concept, really. It is both, as theologians like to say, vertical, between humans and God, that is, and horizontal, between humans and one another. And in fact, humans and all creation. As Jürgen Moltmann writes, the Sabbath legislation of the Old Testament is full of ecological wisdom, leading to a special blessing for humankind and the earth. As long as we see nature and our own bodies only through the dominating influence of work, we perceive only the utilitarian aspect of nature and only the instrumental side of our bodies. We find wisdom to understand nature and ourselves as God's creation when we celebrate the Sabbath/Sunday as a day of rest on which human beings and animals find peace and leave nature in peace. Still, what does this Sabbath require of us? Now, luckily, in some ways, Christian Sabbath keeping has changed over the years. In Puritan New England, the list of finable and sometimes punishable offenses included riding violently to and from meeting, hurrying to church, that is, not to mention lewd and unseemly behavior like kissing your spouse in public on the Sabbath day, or picking peas in your garden, much less engaging in such practices as clamorous discourses, shouting, hallooing, screaming, running, riding, dancing, jumping. Some of that punishable by whipping, by the way, or being put in the town stocks. Now, as recently as the 20th century, some Scottish Presbyterians barred people from communion for taking public transportation on Sunday, even to get to church, which seems ridiculous, but it involved commerce. And so it also depended on other people having to work on the Sabbath. It's complicated. And of course, as I said, going to church has always been an essential part of Sabbath observance. And church could be an all-day affair. In the 18th century, it was not uncommon for Presbyterian sermons to be several hours long. So count your blessings, my friends. Still, even John Calvin said in one of his sermons on our passage from Deuteronomy, he said, "We must understand that the Lord's Day was not appointed only for listening to sermons, but that we should spend the rest of the time praising God. Because we are so occupied with our own affairs on the other days of the week, we are slow to serve God in them in the way God has assigned on the one day. The Lord's Day must therefore serve as a tower in which we can go up to view God's work in the distance. It is a time in which there should be nothing to hinder us or keep us occupied, so that we can employ our minds meditating on the benefits and gracious gifts God has given us." But while I doubt any of us long for the days of being punished for reading a newspaper on the Sabbath, the idea of rest has become even more foreign to us. The idea of ceasing our endless and somewhat frenzied activity can make some of us break into a cold sweat. A 2018 study found that the average American checks their phone 80 times a day while on vacation. Think about it. If you're awake for 16 hours while you're on vacation, 16 hours a day, that means they check their cell phone 5 times an hour. That's every 12 minutes. Being connected with each other and with the world is great. But one of the things Sabbath reminds us of is not just to whom our ultimate connection is, but how to connect. Texting is often easier than having a real conversation. And sure, some of those 80 times people are probably, you know, touching base with a relative, perhaps, or looking up directions. But I'd guess that for a lot of people, it's work-related, a lot of those checks. And as Dorothy Bass said, overworked Americans need rest. And they need to be reminded that they do not cause the grain to grow, and that their greatest fulfillment does not come through the acquisition of material things. Moreover, the planet needs a rest from human plucking and burning and buying and selling. Perhaps as Sabbath keepers, we will come to live and know these truths more fully, and thus to bring their wisdom to the common solution of humanity's problems. You know, remember that even Calvin, writing in the 1500s, noted that we are so occupied with our own affairs. And I bet the ancient Israelites were too. So God in her wisdom gave them a commandment, stop! It is a radical notion now, and it was no less radical then. And this longest and most complex of commandments is the connector, the conduit between the commandments about the vertical, how we relate to God, and those about the horizontal, how we relate to God's creation. This commandment is a biggie. It reminds the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt that they are free now. Their worth is no longer based on their production value, but on their identity as children of the Most High God. And they need a constant reminder. So every seventh day they are to stop doing and simply be. Everyone is to rest, to take a break. Bosses, workers, neighbors, strangers, animals, land. Because we are all of equal worth in God's eyes. Now, in the Gospels, there are six incidents reported when Jesus stirs up controversy about the Sabbath, and they all make something clear. First, that the Sabbath is not about arbitrary human-imposed rules. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus says. Jesus, God, is in charge. And also, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. God means the Sabbath as benefit for all, which is why it's okay for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath, which is why it's okay for us to do good on the Sabbath. And the passage we heard from Matthew earlier reminds us that we are all weary. We all long for a rest. Reminds us that not only does God command us to keep the Sabbath, but that we need to. So, what does Sabbath keeping look like today? Or, rather, what should it look like? And several years ago, I was pretty good at keeping what I called an internet Sabbath. Since I work on Sundays, I often keep my Sabbath from Sunday evening through Monday. So from Sunday at about 5 p.m., for at least 24 hours, I wouldn't go online. Now, of course, that was before I had a smartphone and a tablet, and even my laptop was about three times the size of my current one. It's harder to disconnect now. But I still try to spend at least part of my day off away from my gizmos, and maybe I should try for that 24-hour goal again. As some people try not to buy things on the Sabbath. That might be a tough one. But I'm thinking if I do my grocery shopping the day before, if I just decide that I'm not going to surf the net for things to buy or window shop to tempt myself, maybe it's possible. Can I refrain from rushing around on the Sabbath? That is a challenge for us New Yorkers, right? And those of us who seem hardwired to run for the subway, to zigzag through traffic, to beat that red light. Worth a try, though. Because maybe before we can make ourselves just stop, we can at least slow down. And maybe while we're not checking our phones and not swiping our credit cards and not rushing around, we'll find we can do other things. Like maybe reread the Bible passage you heard in church in the morning and pray about it. Like maybe go for a long walk down a city street or by a river or in the country or through a museum, taking time to notice the people and places and things around you, the sheer extraordinariness of God's creation. Maybe, Instead of watching TV or playing video games, you and your family can make your own entertainment. Have a sing-along or play a board game. The games were frowned upon by the Puritans, but I suspect that God would like us to have more play in our lives, whether we're children or adults. Play can be a way of honoring God, too. Any other ideas out there for how you might put more Sabbath in your Sunday? Anyone want to venture something? I'm thinking read a book. Pete was talking about drawing and painting before. Paint a picture. Have a long, relaxed meal with friends. Sit in silence. You know, in more than one of the commentaries on Sabbath that I've been reading lately, the authors say that Sabbath keeping is about acknowledging that God is God and we are not. For those of you who remember early Saturday Night Live days, that's the Chevy Chase school of theology. And I agree with it, though I don't think that means just sitting in church and praising God. And yes, our work can be a way of praising God too, but we are more than our work, more than the sum of our accomplishments, no matter how great or how small they are. So this is the first of three sermons I'm preaching on Sabbath today, August 18th and August 25th. And then the following week, September 1st, there's no church. So I'm going to challenge you all to honor the Sabbath that whole day. Maybe go to church somewhere else. Maybe not. Maybe spend the whole day outside. Maybe spend the whole day inside. May depend on the weather. Pray. Play. Be kind. Be thoughtful. Be glad. Rejoice in God's creation. Take a radical rest from all the demands that the world and its ways make on you. For the Sabbath is God's gift to us. Give thanks and enjoy, for to God alone be the glory. Amen.